Every year, if we're fortunate, there's this special time of year that comes around where we honor people who have reached a milestone. Of course, that can appear a lot of different ways, but today we're thinking about a couple of kids in our youth who have been a long time involved in a lot of ways who are about to graduate from high school. Is Jacob here? There he is. I'd like to ask Jacob and Sean and Nathan to come up, and I think you've got a presentation for them.
He told me to grab this microphone, and then I just walked right past it. Okay, so this morning, we have Nathan Bradford and Sean Nasworthy. Both of them are graduating this week, and Nathan is graduating from HOCO, right? You know, what do y'all say? Hail something? Bear down. There you go, bear down. He's graduating from Houston County High School, and he's going to attend college at Georgia Southern, majoring in business management. And, yes. And then we have Sean Nasworthy, who is graduating from Perry High School. Hey, go Panthers. All day, every day. Okay. He will also be attending Georgia Southern. And, Nathan actually told me what your major was. I didn't know if I should believe him or not, but he said sports management. Is that correct? Okay. All right. I didn't want to say it. And then you'd be like, and then you like slap Nathan on stage. That would be bad. So, both of these guys are obviously irreplaceable, in our student ministry, not just because of their fantastic personalities and their stunning good looks, but also because they're both leaders, in the student ministry. They both lead by example for all the students, younger than them, and I am so grateful for the both of them. And when they do leave, it's going to be super tough, but I'm grateful to both of you. And they are actually the first graduates I've had since being the youth pastor here. So I couldn't think of a better pair to be my first graduates from here. So, but I do have some gifts for the both of you. They're the same, so it doesn't really matter which one you get, but there you go. There you are, sir. Yes, so if you would join me in giving them a round of applause. There's Rich. He's in the back. He's very excited for you. Love you guys.
Okay. Give me one second to get set up here. It is exciting when you reach those big points in life where you sort of go from one phase to another. And I know these guys have been working a long time for this, and it's going to be awesome. I know I enjoyed college. I mean, I kind of enjoyed adulthood maybe even more, but you know, college was good too. And so I'm excited for you guys. So today we're going to do something a little different. If you've got your Bibles, I'd love for you to open up to Matthew chapter 5. When I started here, one of the first series we did was on the Sermon on the Mount. And I like to talk about ways to bring it into the modern context. And it's a tricky thing to do. But we're going to start out by reading chapter 5 in the first two verses. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And I like to imagine that it went a little something like this. Celebrate if you are lowly, for the coming days will belong to people like you. Celebrate if you are grieving and have no one to comfort you, because very soon you will. Celebrate if you are considered weak by this world, because the earth will very soon belong to you. Celebrate if you hurt for the brokenness of the world around you, for very soon you will receive your relief. Celebrate if you are forgiving by nature, because you will be forgiven your own flaws. Celebrate if you mediate countless conflicts and fights around you every day, because your work will be considered the work of a child of God Himself. Celebrate if you are made fun of or if you are hurt for your beliefs, because the next era and the coming days belong to you. And celebrate if you are insulted or accused of doing wrong. Rejoice and wear it as a badge of honor, because I'm telling you that is how the world has always treated the people of God. And if you are those things, that is who you are. If you are these people, then you are the flavoring of the world. But you must continue to define your success like these things listed above, or else you will stop being distinct from the flavor of everyone around you. And a spice packet with nothing unique, with no flavor, is good for absolutely nothing. You throw it away. You are God's neon sign, beckoning people into His kingdom. And nobody puts a neon sign back behind the building next to the dumpster, do they? They put it out front so everyone can see it. In the same way, you don't have to hide anymore or be ashamed of your position, because you get to be the people of God in the coming days. And even though this new era is arriving, don't imagine that somehow all the old rules don't apply anymore. All those rules about right and wrong are not going away. In fact, this is the time to recapture their fullness, which is, by the way, far more difficult and not less. In fact, unless you are more godly than the best person you know, you really cannot continue as the people of God in the coming age. You have to do better than that. For instance, you know how the scriptures say, "Thou shalt not murder"? But I tell you, thou shalt not be angry and call your brother or sister fools or idiots. Losing control of your weapon can put you in prison, but losing control of your tongue can put you in danger of hell. So if someone holds something against you, don't continue on as usual. Stop and make it right quickly, even if you have to walk out of church to get it done. Or you know how it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? But I tell you, you should not look with desire at the people around you or on a screen. And if you can't control yourself, then do what you must to fix it. Throw away your phone. Disconnect your TV. Cancel your internet. Better you go to heaven with no phone than enter hell with three. Or maybe you've heard that you should divorce if you cannot work out your differences, or if you drift in different directions as a couple. But I tell you that unless one of you has cheated on the other, then you have indeed broken your vows. Or is it that you no longer value your word anymore? Do you swear up and down to make people believe you? Do you cross your fingers or swear on something that doesn't matter to give yourself an out? I tell you, every word you speak is given to God Himself. Every promise is given to Him and not people. And if you live like that, people will take your word as true. Perhaps you've heard somewhere that revenge was sweet. But I tell you, there's greater strength in being wronged than in doing it. If someone wants to take your wallet, give them your PIN number to go with it. If they want to sue your business, don't stop them. And if someone blackmails you, give them more than they asked for. And if they hit you on one side, show them the other and invite them to hit that one also. It's been said that we must love everyone but tolerate the sinners. But I tell you that your deepest love should be for the people who treat you the worst. That is, in fact, the telltale sign of the children of God. Your Father blesses everyone with the sun and the rain, no matter how they treat Him. And you should too. That is how you live as the people of God. And by the way, when you do good things as God's people in the coming age, don't make a show of it. If you do, you trade a heavenly reward for a lesser reward of impressing people around you, and they will not care for very long. So when you pray, don't use the fanciest words you know or keep on going and going as if your holiness could be measured in words per minute. That's nonsense. When you pray, go to a quiet place, away from everything, and pray simply. Something like, "Our Father, you are a treasure in heaven. May the coming days arrive quickly so that we can see your will being done on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us today the things that we need. Forgive us the wrongs we have committed as we commit to forgiving others in the ways they've wronged us. Shield us from temptation everywhere we go and save us from evil." Honestly, if you can't forgive others, how do you expect God to forgive you? And also, when you give money to a cause, don't post it on your social media or take pictures or demand a building be named after you. Do it secretly. Do it so secretly, maybe your accountant doesn't even know. But God will always know. And He will reward you accordingly. And therefore, let your heavenly bank account become fuller and fuller, valuing most the things that do not change with the ups and downs of the stock market or the whims of governments and thieves. Value what you cannot lose. For where your values lie, there your heart will follow, and also your life. Know that you cannot be controlled by multiple bosses. If money is your boss, then everything else will come second, and vice versa. So don't be controlled by anything that you didn't choose. Worship God alone, not your wealth, your image, or anything else. And when this is the way you live, what do you really have to worry about? Is not life more important than likes on a Facebook page or numbers in a computer somewhere? How many of you, by worrying about everything, can stop even the smallest wrong thing from happening? Did it ever fix anything for you? Look at how happy and content are the animals living in your own house. Don't you matter more to God than even they do to you? Aren't you more valuable than that even? So stop worrying about everything. And instead, live for the coming days. And everything else will take care of itself. Please, stop criticizing and measuring up everyone around you. Whether you are nice or mean, that very measure that you have applied will be applied back to you in the coming days. So take it easy. Stop pointing at the speck of sawdust in one person's eye when there's a 2x4 sitting in your own. After all, you'd have to remove the 2x4 just to see them. No? Don't bother throwing out your opinion to people who could not care less. Sometimes it's better to be quiet than to let them trample all over you. Ask God, and you will be surprised how generous He actually is. Send Him a prayer and be surprised when He responds. After all, when your children ask you for things, you don't ignore them, do you? If your child asks for a hug, you don't give them a spanking, right? And if they ask you for a toy, do you give them a razor blade? Of course not. And doesn't God love you more than you love your own children? So in everything, just treat people the way you would want to be treated, for this sums up what it means to be the people of God. And know if you choose to be these people, that you are choosing a narrow and lonely road for yourself. The path of righteousness is extremely small, and not many stay on it for very long. But the path to moral destruction is well traveled and populated way more than you know. Don't let people deceive you by making you think they are someone better than they are. You can tell by looking at the fruits that they produce in their life. Good people do good things from the good in their heart, and bad people don't. So be careful not to get taken advantage of by people who are pretenders. So as you can imagine, not everyone who claims to be a part of the people of God will actually make it into the coming era. Many will say to me, I went to church, I gave money, I prayed, I even taught Sunday school a couple of times. But I will have to tell them, I don't know you, evildoer. Go away. Take these words to heart. It's not enough to only hear them. You have to live by it. It has to become the foundation on which you are building everything in the coming days. If you ignore these words, your foundation is cracked before you even begin. And you can build it up as high as you want for a long time, but one day that building will be condemned. Because it always had a crack. But if you hear these words, and you live by them, and you make them your foundation, then whatever you build in the coming days will have a great start. And no matter what storms arise and how strong the winds blow, your building will stand for a long, long time because it had its foundation in something that was firm. Because you will have become the people of God, rested on the laws and the rules in their fulfillment exactly for the age that is coming. Chapter 7. Verse 28 ends this way. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. I have always been blown away by this section of scripture, and honestly, maybe I preach it too much. I don't know. But what Jesus says in those three chapters about what it means to live in the new era, in the kingdom of God, and the thing that Jesus was bringing forth, as we talked about in all of our studies of the Old Testament, he defines it in ways that blew everyone's mind, and honestly, were pretty challenging and frustrating even to the people of their own time. The idea that these successful people, the people who should celebrate in the coming age, were all the people you didn't really think of as naturally successful and people who should celebrate. The reversal of order. The idea that the law had been tied into the letter of the law without even considering its heart. That to bring the law into fullness, you had to capture not only what it said by the letter, but deeper than that, what it said at its heart, what it was intended to mean, and how it meant we should go about respecting and loving other people. And so murder goes back to anger and controlling ourselves from the beginning. Lust, or adultery, goes back to lust and controlling our minds and our thoughts about people and the things around us. And loving others includes loving enemies. And bringing about forgiveness. Because these are the tools of the next era. The very things that will change the world around us. Or the idea that when we do good things, we should actually, you know, not do it for show. That if we do, then the reward that we wanted, we got already. We impress someone. But if we hide it, we put off some reward for some other day in some way God has yet to fully explain. Or the idea that if we truly value God and only allow ourselves to be controlled by Him and nothing else, means that addictions have to fall away, means that money can't be our primary pursuit or image or anything like that. It means that He and only He needs to be all that we see. And when we do that, then what can we lose? What is there left to worry about? And all of that means that we take a narrow path. We measure other people gently. We try to discern who are really good people and who are pretending. And we do our best to make sure on that day God knows us. All of this we make our foundation, that we might be the people of God in the coming days. This is just a creative take I wanted to do today. We got through with a long series, and I know I went, what? How long did I go in all my sermons the last 6 weeks? Slightly over time. This one's going to end short. When the people heard these words of Jesus, not my words, Jesus' words, they were blown away. I'm still blown away. And I hope with some creative imagery and some modern updating that you found them interesting. I don't actually have an application slide. Sorry. But I think the whole thing is application, no? Every time you come in contact with someone, remember what it means to be the people of God. Because if I'm not mistaken, that's what the church is. God using His people in the coming days to bring about His restoration of the earth? No. That is who we are. These are the rules we live by. And this is what will change the world around us. God in heaven, thank You for giving us Your words. Help us to treasure them, to treasure You, to hold them dear to our heart, to never forget them, to not believe that You exaggerated in some way that means it doesn't apply to us, but that You called us to a grand ideal. And we ought to do everything in our power to follow it. God, when we fall short, we depend upon Your grace. When we fail to be the people of God, we ask that You restore us day after day, forgiving us of our sins and giving us a renewed purpose and ability to struggle and fight and wrestle through all of our days, that we might continue as Your people. God, begin Your project of renewing this earth. Let Your will be done in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. And let us honor You by the way we live. I thank You for taking care of us. I thank You for Your Son. And Lord, we love You tremendously. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now, every week we take a moment, and in the simplicity of the gospel, we simply take in our hand two elements. A cracker that represents the body of Christ, a cup of juice that represents His blood. And when we hold those things, we remember what the Bible teaches. That God Himself sent His Son to come down to suffer, that people like us might be part of the people of God. When we take that, it's a moment in which the past, present, and future come together. Because we remember the Exodus, and then the Last Supper, and then today, all around the world, and then the day when we'll eat it in heaven with Christ at this eternal banquet, which is one of the images given us of the great restoration of the world. All these things come together, and not only in this room, but in every church around the world, reminding us of our history and our togetherness around this one need, this one principle of the body and blood of Christ. This is our healing food. This is our salve. This is our joy. In this moment, time stands still. In this moment, the air between us and God is thin. In this moment, we are restored. And so we take these elements in a way in which we think about ourselves and where we are, and we commit to prioritizing God again, because He's worth it. In a few moments, the band is going to start singing, and that is a time to draw your hearts and minds back to God. There'll be a quiet moment after that, and any time in all of this when you feel ready, you can take that cracker and take that juice when you feel that you can honor God in that moment. We'll give you a little bit of time after the song if you haven't taken it before. And then that'll be our time to reflect and recommit ourselves to move forward. For we are in those coming days. And we are living as the people of God. Thank you all for coming today. A couple of things. One, our prayer and invitation room is always open after church. It's a chance for you to continue praying and responding to God in whatever way He has reached you out today. It's also a time to talk to someone in the church about baptism or just questions about the faith or just prayer over things going on in your life or how to become a member or how to respond and get involved. I mean, there are a million ways for you to use that. Beyond that, for those who have kids fifth grade and under, we do have some water games out there, so you may want to hang around and listen for some instructions so we can get started over there. We have the baby shower at 2:00 today for those coming back. I got it right. And then one more thing. The last 6 weeks we have been doing a lot of we did a very heavy information sermon series on the Old Testament. I had a few people ask about notes. What I did is I just took the slides I used over those 6 weeks, I put them into one long slideshow, then printed it out, four on a page. I've got several copies out there. If you're interested in one, just ask one of the deacons. You can grab that on your way out. It's not all the information by any means, but it's a good start for you to go back and study if you'd like. I just want to let you know that was available. Beyond that, let's go out, let's be the people of God this week, and let's live as God called us to. Let me close with a word of prayer. God in heaven, thank you for this awesome day. I pray that you continue the work that you began this morning in our hearts and in our minds, through our lunch break, through the rest of the day, through the rest of the week. Continue working in our hearts and minds to change us and make us into the people you called us to be, who reflect some of the fruits of the Spirit and some of the things you taught about what we are to be as your people. We thank you and love you. We praise you because you have given all. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.